Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, and so is my mom. And if you're an Atlanta Falcons fan, you got a little older last night, too. But if you're a Patriot fan, you must be feeling pretty good. What a game, right? The Super Bowl was the Super Bowl of all Super Bowls. And say what you will, Tom Brady will, in fact, go down as the greatest quarterback of all time. So congratulations to them. If you're listening on 900 AM, the talk of the Palm Beaches, you are, in fact, listening live. If you're listening on Long Island or in Gainesville or on the Palm on Saturday morning, we are on tape. But we have an unbelievable show for you tonight. Some of you may have tuned in expecting Dr. Bradley Lamb to be here, but he has been rescheduled for March 13th, in large part because our guest tonight is here to talk about an extremely important event happening right here in Palm Beach, and it's an important event about a very important subject. On February 25th, Good Samaritan Medical Center is hosting the 2017 Ovarian Cancer Survivors Course at the Kravis Center in West Palm Beach. Dr. Howard Goodman is a gynecologist. He is a gynecologic oncologist with Florida Cancer Specialists, and he's on staff at Good Samaritan. And he is the founder of this event here locally. There are physicians flying in from all over the world to lecture at this event. We are fortunate enough to have him to talk about this event. And I gave the wrong location, apparently. It's at the Hilton West Palm Beach Hotel, which is right next to the convention center. And I will give that information. It is Saturday, February 25th, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. So I will talk more about Dr. Goodman and his qualifications in just a minute. But trust me, we're going to be talking about things tonight. One, that I've never talked about. Two, I didn't know much about. And three, I'm pretty sure you can learn something. So stay tuned. But before I speak with Dr. Goodman, I want to just remind people that we are in the middle of our family caregiver workshop for those people who have family members struggling with Alzheimer's and dementia. Family caregivers pay a heavy price, particularly when dealing with somebody with a chronic disease, none more chronic than Alzheimer's and dementia. So Tino, my son-in-law, you've heard of him and from him before. He and I are doing a four-week family caregiver workshop at Ruth Rails Jewish Family Services at the Weissman Center in Delray Beach. It's Friday. We finished the first, but you can still come. It's from 11 to 12 for the next three Fridays, and I encourage you to be there. I also am going to be very excited to be speaking at an author's luncheon at the Palm Isles community on the 17th of February, Friday the 17th. There'll be a number of authors there, including myself. We're going to talk about our books and the reasons we wrote our books and what they may offer you. And I encourage you to reach out to Palm Isles if you have any interest in seeing that. It's going to be a great, great event. But now to my guest, Dr. Howard Goodman. Dr. Goodman did his undergraduate studies at Union College in Schenectady. He went to medical school at the Medical College of Virginia in Richmond, Virginia, and then he did his internship at Boston Hospital for Women in Boston, and then his residency at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, Massachusetts. He completed his fellowship in gynecologic oncology at Brigham and Women's Hospital, and then he joined the faculty at Mount Sinai Medical Center in New York. He later returned to Boston to private practice and to teach at the Harvard system at New England Deaconess and Brigham and Women's Hospitals and the Dana-Farber Cancer Center. In addition to the surgical management of women with gynecologic cancer, he performs all aspects of gynecologic surgery, pelvic reconstruction, advanced laparoscopy, and robotic surgery, and we could not be happier than to have him with us tonight. So, Dr. Goodman, thank you. How are you?
Good. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. So, you know, I know that we want to talk about this important event, and we will talk about it in detail as the show unfolds. But I don't think people talk much about ovarian cancer. They certainly don't know much about ovarian cancer. So can we talk a little bit about it from the 30,000-foot level? You know, how prevalent is it? It's really important, et cetera.
Okay. Fair enough. First, I want to ditto the issue about Tom Brady, probably being the best quarterback of all time, having done all my training up there. And then we can move on to ovarian cancer. Okay. You know, as a gynecologist, primarily we deal with the female malignancies. And ovarian cancer is the second most common female malignancy behind uterine cancers, but it's the number one killer. And that's the problem. And although we've made, you know, some progress over the last 30 or 40 years that I've been in practice, there's clearly a long way to go. And to a great degree, the big problem is it's a silent killer. There's a lack of early symptoms. And perhaps the biggest problem is there's just a lack of a good screening technique. For cervical cancer, obviously, we have pap testing. For breast cancer, we have mammograms. For colon cancer, we have colonoscopies. For ovarian cancer, although there's a tremendous amount of work worldwide looking for a test where we can find this disease either early or in a precursor form, we just don't have it yet.
And I think all of us understand that kind of the key to survival rates and success in the work that you do and for anybody dealing in the world of cancer is early detection. So that, this is a real, how many people get ovarian cancer? You know, how prevalent is this?
Each year in the U.S., well, first of all, ovarian cancer is a relatively uncommon disease. We talk about it a lot, but in comparison to colon cancer, breast cancer, lung cancer, it's relatively uncommon. Each year in the U.S., there's around 23,000 new cases, but there's about 15 or 16,000 deaths, and that's the issue from our standpoint. Wow. So it's not a particularly common disease. Obviously, because of the high death rate, if someone gets the disease, it's, you know, it's likely to turn out bad. And again, the problem is early detection. If we can find the disease when it's early stage, stage one, the success rate is actually quite high. Cure rates are in excess of 90%. The problem is the overwhelming majority of women who we find with ovarian cancer have stage three or stage four at diagnosis. And so we're just clearly behind the eight ball when we're trying to treat those patients. And that accounts for the poor outcome.
So, we're going to talk about this again more later in the show, because I have a lot of questions about this. Is this an age-related disease, or is this a lifestyle-related disease? Are there things that say I'm more susceptible to this disease than would, you know, the girl on across the street?
Mm-hmm. The majority of malignancies are age-related to some degree, as the underlying cause for many of these are genetic or DNA abnormalities that develop over time. So as age goes up, the risk of developing a cancer goes up, and we certainly see that with our parents, our grandparents, et cetera. There are several risk factors associated with ovarian cancer, but the overwhelming one is family history and the presence or absence of some specific genetic abnormalities that dramatically increase the risk of a woman developing this particular cancer.
And, some cancers, and we're going to talk about the genetics. I keep saying we're going to, and we will. I promise everybody we are. Is it more prevalent in a particular population? Is it Ashkenazi Jew? Is it African American? I know there are some cancers that run, and I know that we're going to talk about genetic testing for this and genetics as the role that it plays in ovarian cancer. Are there a particular class of people, a group of, that's the wrong, class isn't the right thing, but a group of people that should be aware of this?
The specific gene issues that we specifically worry about with ovarian cancer are the BRCA, BRCA 1 and 2 genes, which are both risk factors for breast cancer and for ovarian cancer. And a lot of people think it's primarily a breast cancer issue because of the BR part of the name, but it's actually both for breast and ovarian cancer. Patients with significant family histories, first-degree relatives, mother, daughter, sister, are at higher risk for developing the disease. And it's those patients who fall into those categories that need to be tested so we can find these particular gene abnormalities, which would change the way we perform surveillance on them. We have proactive treatments that we can do for them to try and minimize the risk.
So I guess I have so many questions running around in my head. When you say that you don't typically find this until stage 3 or stage 4, which impacts the survival rate and the efficacy of treatment, there are other cancers that we do find in stage 3 or 4 that we're making great progress on. Breast cancer, you know, mm-hmm. we are making great progress, even at level stage 3 and stage 4. What particularly is so complex, without getting into the weeds and talking above my pay grade, mm-hmm. what specifically makes the treatment of ovarian cancer so much more difficult than other cancers where we have such a poor survival rate?
Getting back to to your first comment, in general, unless a particular cancer is very sensitive to chemotherapy or if there are hormonal treatments or other therapies that we can do that are affected, once we find them in stage 3 and stage 4, there's a clear drop-off in survival, virtually all of these cancers, compared to diagnosing in stage 1 or stage 2. Ovary, to some degree, and actually when I used to give a lot of these lectures when I was back in Boston, I put up a little chart that would show all of our cancers, all the female cancers, broken down by survival in stage 1, 2, 3, and 4, and they're virtually the same, stage for stage. The problem is 70% of women with ovarian cancer are diagnosed in stage 3 and stage 4. Ovarian cancer develops either in the ovary, or there's some thought now that actually develops in the fallopian tube. The ovary and the tube are just, you know, free-floating, if you will. It's kind of a bad term because they're attached in the abdominal cavity. So the cancer cells that arise on the surface of the ovary get quick access to the rest of the abdomen, develop tumors, develop problems. So we're dealing with a disease that can affect virtually the entirety of the abdominal cavity.
That's fascinating. I guess, early detection would be critical, but since there are no warning signs, are there warning signs that we don't know are warning signs? We don't think they are, or we're afraid to talk about them?
The problem is many of the early warning signs for ovarian cancer are very nonspecific. Women can present with some GI upset, some nausea, some vomiting, urinary frequency, urinary urgency, occasionally some change in their menstrual cycle. All of these things are probably not going to turn out to be ovarian cancer. It's going to be something else, irritable bowel, some virus, it's going to be some other problem. So it's those early but nonspecific signs that a woman, if she has, should consider at least talking to their physician regarding that issue.
So we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to ask if the primary care physician population is attuned to the prospects of those issues that you just described being more than just irritable bowel syndrome, and if they are referring, and how do they people get to you? What's happening when they get to you? We're going to talk about that when we get back. If you're just tuning in, though, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Here tonight with Dr. Howard Goodman, who is a gynecologic oncologist with the Florida Cancer Specialist, and he's on staff at Good Sam. We're going to talk about a very special event that he founded, which is a survivors group that is being it's really fascinating. There are doctors from all over the world coming in to see this. So it's going to be a survivor's course. It's on February 25th. We're going to give you more information about that and how you can go and how you can register and learn everything you can. You're going to want to stay tuned because this information is really critical. Also, if you have questions for Dr. Goodman, feel free to give us a call, 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Scott, caregiver stress is really a silent killer, isn't it?
It really is, Mike. The statistics are astounding. Nearly 64% of family caregivers taking care of somebody with Alzheimer's and dementia without having outside help will predecease their loved one who has Alzheimer's and dementia. The stress of taking care of a loved one with a chronic disease can take a terrible toll, and the need for a respite is never more apparent than when you're feeling the most stressed.
So, Scott, your services can be provided for just a couple of hours a day so we can live our normal life.
Yes, Mike. take, even a couple of hours away from the family member who is struggling with a chronic disease can give you the break that you need to take care of yourself. Get your hair done, go out and play cards, maybe a round of golf, go see a movie. All of these are things that will help you take care of your loved one better if you're in a better frame of mind. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us, 561-630-1620.
I'm here with Tino Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Tino, you guys are really going above and beyond when it comes to training your staff for Alzheimer's care.
So, Mike, a lot of people complain about their caregivers being on the phone all day. At Comfort Care, we are training our caregivers to keep your loved ones active, engaged, and stimulated.
And Tino, what are some of the things you're doing to make your caregivers better equipped to take care of people with Alzheimer's?
So twice a month, I'm bringing our caregivers in to our office for specialized training on behavior modification and cognitive stimulation activities designed to keep your loved ones active when the caregivers are there staying with them. We find caregivers respond favorably when they have the tools at their disposal to take care of your loved one. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of your life. So let our family take care of your family. 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about a really fascinating subject with a fascinating guest. Dr. Howard Goodman is here. He is a gynecologic oncologist with the Florida Cancer Specialist Group, and he's on staff at Good Samaritan Hospital. He is the founder of an event called the Ovarian Cancer Survivors Course. We'll give you the details about that coming up. There's a special event on February 25th that you may have a great deal of interest in. But we're talking about specifically ovarian cancer tonight. And we learned in the first part of the show that we don't find this early enough, often enough. So, Dr. Goodman, let's talk about screening. Let's talk about how we can find this earlier, which would improve the outcomes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, as we talked about earlier, there are, you know, great screening strategies for some of the other cancers that we deal with, breast, colon, cervical cancer. With ovarian cancer, just isn't any easy screen. The two things that people hear about, and there's always been a hope that it's going to work, would be a blood test. And a lot of people have heard about the CA125 test. It was actually developed at the Brigham while I was there. And that's a test that specifically was developed for tracking how women do with ovarian cancer. It's elevated in the majority of women with ovarian cancer. The problem is it's just not specific enough to be used as a screening test. And although it's been tried worldwide with a lot of screening strategies, even combined with ultrasound that we'll get to in a minute, it's just hard to demonstrate that screening with that test can really impact on survival and mortality. And that's really the end game, if you will, for an accurate screening test. If all you're doing is finding the disease when it's in an advanced stage, but you're not affecting mortality, you kind of wasted a lot of money doing a screen. The second test is the ultrasound, which probably all women have had one at some point. It's usually done in pregnancy, transabdominally to look at the baby, done transvaginally to get a good look at the ovaries and the uterus. And one could look for changes in the ovaries, small cysts, small growths, etc. Again, it's the same problem where it's just not sensitive enough to be able to find these cancers at an early stage. So although everyone hopes that we can screen, there's just no clear benefit at this point.
So even if you have a family history, even if you suspect that you may be at a higher risk, it doesn't mean that you're going to be able to diagnose it, if I'm listening properly.
To a great degree, that's true. The group that we're still recommending get screened are the patients that appear to be at significantly high risk, and those tend to be the ones with the genetic abnormalities, BRCA1 and BRCA2. So we are screening those. It's still a bit difficult to prove that we can impact on survival, even in that high-risk group, but we are still doing it.
So I'm a huge fan of the primary care practice. You know, I think there are great primary care physicians out there that really save the lives of their patients by being kind of ahead of the curve. Is this something that most primary care physicians are in touch with? Are they referring properly? Or is this typically a conversation you have with your GYN and not your primary care? Is it a combination of both?
Well, you know, clearly the OBGYNs have all gone through training in GYN cancer as part of their residency program. So they're all tuned in to issues about ovarian cancer, and no one wants to miss an ovarian cancer. Fortunately, we're blessed with a lot of very, very good primary care doctors who I think have, you know, done their reading, they've gone through their CMA courses, and they understand a lot how a lot of these nonspecific symptoms can potentially be associated with ovarian cancer. And times, to some degree, have changed. You know, 30 years ago, you'd only be able to do a pelvic exam. There was some testing that one could do, but not nearly as complete as we can do now, where if a woman presents with some of these symptoms, we can send them for a quick ultrasound. That takes it out of the realm of screening into a diagnostic test. CAT scans, MRIs, I mean, all those things can be done to try and find something in as early a stage as one possibly can.
So if you suspect that you're at higher risk and you've gone either from family history, should you then opt for genetic counseling? I know at Good Sam in particular, you have a very aggressive genetic counseling group, particularly in the area of BRCA1 and BRCA2. That's got to be really important to the population out there who suspects they may be at higher risk.
Right. We've got some very good genetic counselors, you know, around town. Robin Stevens is part of our group. Connie Murphy is over at Good Sam. Most of the practices now, whether it's primary care, OBGYN, usually have their patients fill out a questionnaire that lists what their family history would be and lists perhaps some of the other risk factors. And if one peruses that and it looks like the patient is at high risk, we would usually send them for genetic counseling to really pin down what their risks are and make a decision as to whether the blood testing would get done.
So now we're into past kind of the diagnostic stage, or at least worrying about the diagnostic stage, and unfortunately the diagnosis comes back negative. Are there, you know, what are the treatment options? And I know this is not an easy answer in a minute or two before the next break, but, you know, what are some of the treatment options? What are we doing to improve survival rates? Which, you know, we don't want to be gloom and doom. They actually are improving. Mm-hmm. They're just not improving as fast as some other cancers.
Right. I think that's exactly right. I mean, the big benefit we'll see is if we can come up with a good screening test. So having said that, we'll push that aside. Majority of women have more advanced disease, and the classic treatment for these women is a combination of surgery and chemotherapy. There's a lot of work now looking at how we should be doing that, what the schedule should be. Classically, it's been surgery first, followed by chemotherapy. Now, with more and more patients, we're finding that we don't think we can do a very good surgery. I say good, meaning removing the bulk of the tumor. Yeah. So a lot of patients now being treated with upfront chemotherapy to debulk chemically the size of the tumor, eliminate or at least reduce the areas that we would have trouble getting to surgically. And then after two or three cycles of chemotherapy, we move on to surgery and then finish the chemotherapy. So things that are being done. There's a variety of other chemotherapeutic agents that are slowly coming on the market. A lot of biologic agents are under development and being approved where we can target specific gene abnormalities within the tumor as opposed to kind of a shotgun approach, something where we can really pinpoint and hit a specific gene that or gene abnormality, if you will, that caused that patient to get that particular cancer.
And biologics plays an important role, and we're going to talk more about that right after we come back. If you're just tuning in, Scott Greenberg, oh my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom. And we're talking mostly about moms today because we are talking about ovarian cancer with Dr. Howard Goodman. If you're listening on 900 AM, the Talk of the Palm Beaches, we're live. It's Monday night. It's 5:30. Write this down. I'm going to give you a number to call if you have any questions. If you're listening at 104.9 Gainesville's Talk Radio Station, it's Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, 103.9 Long Island's talk radio station. We're on Wednesday night as well. And, of course, we replay on Saturday morning, 95.9 The Palm. Dr. Goodman is a gynecologic oncologist with Florida Cancer Specialist, and he's on staff at Good Samaritan Hospital. We're going to be talking about his event when we come back as well. We're going to talk more about personalized medicine and the biologics impact on treatments, because we are making progress. Again, we don't want to sound gloom and doom. We are making progress. We just want to make more progress. We want to make everybody survive for as long as they possibly can and live the quality of life that they want to live, even with this diagnosis. So if you have any questions for my guest, you can call us, 1-877-960-9960, 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Allison, Comfort Care is a family-owned and operated business.
We are, Mike. It's myself, my husband Tino, and my parents Irene and Scott. We're all thoroughly involved in the day-to-day operations of the business. So many of our clients' families do not live locally and therefore count on us to be their local eyes and ears. Every one of our clients has access to an owner day or night, and we do monitor our office phones 24 hours, 7 days a week by a member of our office staff.
So, Allison, family's very important to you guys at Comfort Care Senior Services.
It really is, Mike. I was very involved with my grandmother before she passed away, so we understand how important it is for everyone in the family, not just the senior needing care, to be a part of the equation. We talk to family members on a regular basis. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. 561-630-1620.
I'm here with Tino Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Tino, you guys are really going above and beyond when it comes to training your staff for Alzheimer's care.
So, Mike, a lot of people complain about their caregivers being on the phone all day. At Comfort Care, we are training our caregivers to keep your loved ones active, engaged, and stimulated.
And, Tino, what are some of the things you're doing to make your caregivers better equipped to take care of people with Alzheimer's?
So, twice a month, I'm bringing our caregivers in to our office for specialized training on behavior modification and cognitive stimulation activities designed to keep your loved ones active when the caregivers are there staying with them. We find caregivers respond favorably when they have the tools at their disposal to take care of your loved one. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of your life. So let our family take care of your family. 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm here tonight with Dr. Howard Goodman. Dr. Goodman is a gynecologic oncologist who is the founder of a very special event on ovarian cancer that's going to be held right here in Palm Beach at the New Hilton Hotel on February 25th. We're going to talk about that event in just a minute or two. Dr. Goodman's specialty is and this event is really ovarian cancer, and we are making progress, and we're going to talk now about those who have been diagnosed who are going through treatment. There's really a push, Dr. Goodman, towards personalized medicine, biologics. Treatment options are really changing across the broad spectrum of cancer treatment, but specifically in more difficult cancers like this. Are we making progress in that area, and can we explain what that is?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I mean, that really is getting into, to some degrees, the future of medicine, all aspects of medicine. But I think it's certainly here now, at least the infancy of it, in how we treat ovarian cancer. The whole thought of personalized medicine is rather than treating everyone with the same disease, with the same drug. A lot of these cancers look exactly alike under the microscope, but if you look at the genetics, the DNA of that particular tumor, they really vary from patient to patient. And we now have the ability, since the human genome was sequenced, to be able to take that patient's tumor on the slides. It doesn't have to be fresh. You can send it to a variety of laboratories that can then sequence that tumor and be able to pull out of there what the gene abnormalities are that are within that tumor that we can potentially target. So targeted therapy, personalized medicine, where we're treating that patient with a specific biologic drug that's targets her particular gene abnormality that caused her tumor.
So you can almost make a specialized drug just for her.
Theoretically, although a lot of the pathways in the cells, I mean, back up, the pathways that allow a cell to grow are just incredibly complex, overlapping.
Right.
I mean, it gets more complex by the day or by the minute. And many of these pathways, you'll see abnormalities in one pathway that you'll see in breast cancer, ovary cancer, colon cancer, et cetera. So rather than treating these diseases differently with different drugs, if we know that those three patients with those three different types of tumors have the same pathway abnormality, we can give them the same drug.
Okay.
So again, it's a way of personalizing the care that we're doing and not wasting time, if you will, giving them drugs that are not likely to work.
So is this part of a clinical trial process, parallel to a clinical trial process?
To some degree, some of these are still in clinical trials, but in other circumstances, we're kind of past that. In many of our practices, we're sending tumors out for what's called next generation sequencing. But we can get that genetic abnormality within the tumor. And then from that information, we have a basket of potential drugs that we can try on that particular patient. Now, most of those drugs have been developed through clinical trials. And let's just, you know, talk a little bit about that aspect of care. Drug development is, again, very, very complicated sequence. One finds a drug. You have to decide if it's safe enough to give. You have to decide if it has activity in a particular tumor. And then if it does have activity, you have to decide whether it is as good or better than what we're already doing. And that's the whole role of clinical trials. Phase one is looking for safety, toxicity. Phase two is looking for, does it have some activity? And phase three is when we're comparing it, usually head-to-head, with what would at this point be considered standard therapy. And then we can decide if one is better than the other.
So I talk about clinical trials across a broad spectrum of diseases that we talk about on the show over the year. I believe that the first person cured of all of these diseases will come from a clinical trial. So it's really important for people to enroll. I mean, it's not being a guinea pig. You may be that first person.
Right, that's very true.
I feel really, really strongly about that. So let's talk about it from the context of this program that you really founded that's on February 25th. So let's talk about that, because this is really celebrating survival, if I understand it properly. So let's give everybody that information.
Okay, so let's kind of talk about the course a little bit. You know, first, getting a little bit too much credit, as I'm clearly not the founder of the course. Basically, our parent organization is a gynecologic oncologist, the Society of Gynecologic Oncology, developed actually in Miami in the 60s. Back in the 90s, they decided they needed to have an outreach program for teaching people, for education, for research support, and they set up the Foundation for Women's Cancer. Wonderful organization. And as part of that outreach, the foundation decided they should set up these programs across the country, not just for ovarian cancer, but for all women's cancers. Ours is for ovary, but it could be for a variety of these other cancers. And what they do is they reach out to physicians in a particular city and partner with them to sponsor one of these conferences. Our conference is on the 25th, as you had said. It's sponsored in part by Good Samaritan Medical Center, which has been, you know, very supportive of the whole cancer program, and my group, Florida Cancer Specialists. It's open to the public. It's geared towards patients and their families. You know, we go to a lot of medical conferences, and even with a fair amount of training and background, some of the discussions go way over my head when you start getting the PhDs talking back and forth.
I doubt that's true.
Right? This is oriented towards patients and their families. And in part, we're trying to convey information about clinical trials, about what's out there, about what's coming. And to a great degree, we want to talk about survivorship. Since we are making progress, since we are doing better in treating these patients, we have a lot of patients who either are living with disease or living without disease but are suffering the aftermaths, if you will, of treatment, so-called survivorship. And we try and share a lot of information with them at the course as to how to deal with these particular issues.
So it's about hope.
It's about hope.
It's about hope. So it's free, too.
Correct.
Right, which
correct.
Is everybody's favorite. Anyone, word, everybody's anyone, favorite F word right. around here is free.
anyone can walk in and register on site. They can go to the website, foundationforwomenscancer.org, and register that way. And that's probably the easiest way.
Just give that again.
Okay, foundationforwomenscancer.org.
And while we're giving out telephone numbers, let's give out your number or your office information so that if people listening and don't want to call in, and I understand that, or are listening in another location but have questions, how can they reach your office?
Pretty easy to reach. Main office is in the Cancer Center at Good Samaritan, 366-4100, and that's the main number for our whole group, Florida Cancer Specialists. Again, we have two gynecologic oncologists within our group, myself and Dr. Leary, and we're open for any discussions, questions, et cetera.
And that's 561?
366-4100.
If you're just tuning in, I'm here talking tonight with Dr. Howard Goodman, who is a gynecologic oncologist with Florida Cancer Specialists. Operating primarily on staff at Good Samaritan Hospital. He is instrumental. He doesn't want me to call him founder. He is instrumental in an event coming up, which is really a Survivor's Day, talking about hope for those who have been treated for and or diagnosed with ovarian cancer or afraid that they may be. It's a wonderful free event. It's on February 25th, and we're going to give you that information. Again, before the end of the show, if you're listening here on 900 AM, the Talk of the Palm Beaches, there's still time for you to call Dr. Goodman or myself at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Scott, caregiver stress is really a silent killer, isn't it?
It really is, Mike. The statistics are astounding. Nearly 64% of family caregivers taking care of somebody with Alzheimer's and dementia without having outside help will predecease their loved one who has Alzheimer's and dementia. The stress of taking care of a loved one with a chronic disease can take a terrible toll, and the need for a respite is never more apparent than when you're feeling the most stressed.
So, Scott, your services can be provided for just a couple of hours a day so we can live our normal life.
Yes, Mike. Even a couple of hours away from the family member who is struggling with a chronic disease can give you the break that you need to take care of yourself. Get your hair done, go out and play cards, maybe a round of golf, go see a movie. All of these are things that will help you take care of your loved one better if you're in a better frame of mind. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us, 561-630-1620.
I'm here with Allison Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Allison, Comfort Care is a family-owned and operated business.
We are, Mike. It's myself, my husband Tino, and my parents Irene and Scott. We're all thoroughly involved in the day-to-day operations of the business. So many of our clients' families do not live locally and therefore count on us to be their local eyes and ears. Every one of our clients has access to an owner day or night, and we do monitor our office phones 24 hours, 7 days a week by a member of our office staff.
So, Allison, family's very important to you guys at Comfort Care Senior Services.
It really is, Mike. I was very involved with my grandmother before she passed away, so we understand how important it is for everyone in the family, not just the senior needing care, to be a part of the equation. We talk to family members on a regular basis. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. If you're just tuning in, you're missing a terrific show tonight. We are talking with Dr. Howard Goodman, who is a gynecologic oncologist and Florida Cancer Specialist and on staff at Good Sam. We've been talking about ovarian cancer, a special event that the hospital is sponsoring at the New Hilton Hotel on February 25th. We'll give you those details again before the show is over. But, you know, when I was preparing for this show, Dr. Goodman and I had a conversation, and because this is not a subject matter that I am all that familiar with, I went to what I thought was a very intelligent question asking about the efficacy of Gardasil. Of course, Gardasil has nothing to do with ovarian cancer. It has to do with cervical cancer, and it's a very hot-button topic. So because I was thinking that, I think some of you may be thinking that, and so I want to ask Dr. Goodman, to talk about that subject, about uterine, I guess, is it uterine cancer or cervical cancer, and HPV and Gardasil and what's going on, because we see a lot of commercials. I'm not sure everybody understands it. And as the grandfather of a 12-year-old grandson, I really have interest. So
okay.
You're up.
There you go. So we're going to go off topic, obviously, a little bit in talking about Gardasil and HPV. The cervical cancer is the third most common gynecologic malignancy. Not that common, actually, with probably 10, 11,000 cases each year in the U.S. Huh? However, worldwide, it's an incredibly common malignancy and the number one killer of women cancer-wise worldwide, in part because of the lack of screening, so-called Pap tests, which once you get that screening program developed in an area, you can dramatically impact on the incidence and the death rate from cervical cancer. The overwhelming majority, if not all, cervical cancers are probably caused by human papillomavirus. It's a DNA virus contracted from sexual contact and associated with abnormal pap tests, genital warts, and a variety of malignancies in that area: vaginal cancer, cervical cancer, vulvar cancer, anal cancer. The HPV vaccine, so-called Gardasil, is targeted against the common subtypes of the HPV virus. There are 60 subtypes now, but targets the specific ones that account for the vast majority of cervical cancers. The specific issue with Gardasil is that in order for it to work, it's not a treatment vaccine, it's a preventative vaccine. So you have to give it before the patient has been exposed to the HPV virus, meaning you have to give it before the onset of sexual activity. So it's really in great part up to the pediatricians to be counseling patients and really their parents as to what the benefit of the vaccine is. So really targeting girls ages 11 or 12.
But not exclusively girls,
not
right?
Exclusively girls.
Boys should also
correct.
should be targeted as well. I'm just guessing that this is a very hard conversation to have, both with children who are pretty sexually active, you know, or at least you think at 12 they should be. So it's hard to have that conversation. People are uncomfortable having that. There's religious influence in that. There's all sorts of influence. And yet, if I'm not mistaken, the efficacy is unquestioned in this disease. Am I right?
It's incredibly important. And as you said, it's a difficult conversation for parents to have with their pediatricians, because no one wants to accept that their 13 and 14-year-olds are out there having intercourse. But you have to target them before they get started. And the efficacy of this vaccine is unparalleled. If you can give the vaccine to someone before any sexual contact, it's protective between 97 and 100%. It's remarkably effective. So basically what we have out there is a vaccine that can virtually eliminate the risk in this young girl of ever developing cervical cancer. And for that matter, decreases their risk of having abnormal pap tests with all the issues associated with that, minimizing or eliminating their possibility of developing genital warts. I mean, it's a remarkably effective vaccine. It is being used in males. There's a lot of, I want to say pushback is really the wrong term, but if one has limited resources, it's probably best to target the women because the diseases that they get are a much higher frequency, if you will, than we see in the males. But it's certainly, you know, beneficial to target both, because once you have enough people vaccinated, the risk of these diseases transmitting, the HPV virus transmitting, decreases dramatically.
And insurance pays for this most of the time.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. Not exclusively.
Right.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. And I have no doubt that, my ignorance in asking you in preparation for this is pretty common, that there's a great deal of misunderstanding and misinformation. And people don't really understand this as well as they should. And this is something if you have children who are between the ages of 10 and 13, you should be listening to this. Am I right?
Right, for sure. Yeah. For sure. We're hoping eventually that it'll become one of the mandatory vaccinations for kids to go to school. And it is in many countries around the world now, United Kingdom, Australia. It's just on that list of vaccinations that have to be done. paid for by the National Health Services. We're not there yet because it goes state by state. But hopefully at some point we'll be at that point that it'll be a routine vaccine. And it's a very safe vaccine.
Wow, it's fascinating. Thanks for helping us clear that up. If you're just tuning in, you are missing a terrific show tonight. I'm here tonight with Dr. Howard Goodman, who is a gynecologic oncologist with Florida Cancer Specialists, and he is on staff at Good Samaritan Hospital. And he is one of the leaders, founders, driving forces of a special event honoring survivorship of ovarian cancer. And it's in West Palm Beach, and it is on February 25th. It's an all-day event. It is both free, and as we heard during the break, you didn't hear, it includes lunch. Free and lunch. It doesn't get better than that. But on a serious note, it's an important subject. And there are physicians from all over the world talking about what's coming in the world of ovarian cancer, what is happening, what's about to happen, talking about survivorship and things that you can do, early detection, clinical trials. It will be one of the most informative days you could possibly attend. If ovarian cancer is on your radar screen, and if it's not, it should be. But if you missed the show and you wish you hadn't, there's good news. We podcast. So tomorrow it will be available on all the podcast platforms. But if you just search on iTunes, you can just search OMG I'm Getting, and up we will pop. If podcast is not your thing, but you're sorry you missed the show, we put it up on our website, my website, palmbeach.comfortcare.com. PalmBeach.comfortcare.com. That will also be up tomorrow. You'll be able to listen to that. And if you don't have a radio and you just happen upon us tonight, that is no excuse, because you can set your smartphone to a new, well, not new, but a free app called TuneIn Radio. It is available on all of the cellular platforms. TuneIn Radio, T-U-N-E-I-N Radio. You can set a reminder to tune in every Monday night at 5 o'clock, and we will be there. We also simulcast, if you are a web guy, girl, gal, whatever, we webcast at www.900thetalk.com, and we broadcast, we webcast locally, statewide, around the country, and around the world. Again, Ruth Rails, I'm going to be there the next three Fridays from 11 to 12. We're going to be doing a family caregiver workshop on Alzheimer's and dementia tips and tools that will improve the quality of your life and the life of your loved ones struggling with that disease. And I will be part of an author's panel on February 17th at Palm Isles. Next week, we're actually going to continue the conversation about female issues as we age with Dr. Arash Rahi, and he is board certified in female pelvic medicine, and he's going to talk about reconstructive surgery, which we didn't talk about tonight at all. So it's going to be a continuation and kind of the next step, but we're not going to be really talking about ovarian cancer next week, so it's the same. His clinical interests gear more toward pelvic organ prolapse and incontinence issues, bladder and bowel dysfunction as we age. So it's going to be an interesting show, and it'll be an interesting follow-up to tonight's show. So I hope that you will tune in. In 2 weeks, it's President's Weekend. So frankly, I don't really know what I'm going to do, but we'll be doing something, and we will be on the air with something really, really interesting. But I still have some time with my guest, Dr. Howard Goodman, who is a gynecologic oncologist, talking about a special event being held on February 25th. So Dr. Goodman, let's remind everybody what that event is.
Right. So it's Saturday, February 25th, all day at the Hilton West Palm Beach on Okeechobee near the Convention Center. It's an ovarian cancer survivors course. It's a course geared towards patients, their families, their friends, about what's out there, how we're treating ovarian cancer, what's new, clinical trials, targeted therapy, personalized medicine, stress management issues, things that we can do to help patients get through their survivorship years. As we said, it's free. You can register on site, or you can go to the website for the Foundation for Women's Cancer, which is one of the sponsors, as well as Good Samaritan Medical Center and Florida Cancer Specialists. The website is foundationforwomenscancer.org, and you can register right there. And I certainly encourage anyone who has time, interested in the topic, to come down. A lot of great information to share.
And for people who would rather not attend that but do want to talk to you, how do they reach you in your group?
My main office is at Good Samaritan in the Cancer Center. I have a second office by JFK Hospital. The main number for our whole group, which is Florida Cancer Specialists here in West Palm and Wellington, Palm Beach Gardens, 561-366-4100.
Is there a website for Florida Cancer Specialists?
FLCancer.com.
FLCancer.com. So we didn't talk about this. We didn't talk about life after diagnosis and treatment. We don't have a whole lot of time left, but that's really important. Life isn't over after this treatment, right? We are beginning to make progress. The treatment doesn't debilitate. I'm assuming doesn't debilitate you. So there's no reason not to check this out. Am I right?
Right. Absolutely. In years gone by, the role of the physician was to treat the patient's cancer with either surgery, radiation, or chemotherapy. And then once we treated them, that was it. And now we're moving on to, understanding that part of our responsibility is to help our patients through their survivorship years with issues that they face, from sexual function issues, side effects of chemotherapy, side effects of surgery, side effects of radiation, stress management techniques. And a lot of that will be shared at the upcoming conference.
And Florida Cancer Specialists really does apply. I'm not a big fan of the word holistic, but it is a holistic approach to treating the person struggling with cancer in their totality, the totality of their life. So we would encourage people, if they're nervous, if they're afraid, not to avoid going to you, but to rush to you,
right?
Because this is about early detection, early treatment, early intervention. Or just finding out that there really is nothing there. If nothing, whatever you think, the worst thing that could happen, maybe it's not that at all. Am I right?
Right. Yeah. At least they can find or get an understanding of what the resources might be. There's a SARI Center, which is a group split off or part of our group, if you will, that, is supportive for alternative medical options, holistic care, yoga, et cetera.
It's really fascinating. If you're not familiar with Florida Cancer Specialists, they are housed predominantly in this area at Good Samaritan Hospital, and they have just a state-of-the-art center, and I can't begin to tell you how impressive their work is. I know, unfortunately, a lot of people who have had to avail themselves of their services, and they are, in fact, a terrific group. Dr. Goodman, this is something that, of course, obviously I knew very little about. It doesn't run in my family. I didn't know anybody that struggled with it, but I feel much more educated tonight. I can't thank you enough for being here. I think you have done a wonderful job of explaining this and giving people hope, and I think there's nothing more important than that. So thank you.
It's a pleasure being here tonight.
Yeah, and I hope you'll consider coming back at another
Absolutely.
Time. That would be great. If you just tuned in, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. We have been talking tonight to Dr. Howard Goodman. He is a gynecologic oncologist at Florida Cancer Specialists. We are talking, or have been talking, about an event that Good Samaritan helps sponsor and that he is very instrumental in creating here locally on February 25th, a survivors group course workshop program at the Hilton Hotel, the new Hilton, which is a really nice place to go. The event is free. As I said, it's on February 25th. It starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. There are specialists from around the world that are going to talk about survivorship. They're going to talk about the latest in clinical trials. They're going to talk about treatment. They're going to talk about the kinds of things that if you or somebody else you know who is struggling with ovarian cancer or thinks you maybe need to know in order to have the best quality life ahead. So we encourage you to do that. For those of you who are new to us, I'm glad that you found us. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom is on every night live Monday at 5 o'clock. We're on Long Island and in Gainesville on Wednesday evenings. We replay at the 95.9 The Palm every Saturday morning here in Palm Beach. I thank you for being here. We will see you next week, and we hope you all have a good night. Congratulations, Patriots. Good night, all.